start the day of Torah, Manchester, Ches, Chmer Cheshvan, Toshin Pei Alev, Reb Shalom Springer.
Good morning. Many shiurim have been given about the lessons we can learn from the current situation, the COVID virus. And I would like to add something to it that maybe isn't immediately obvious. Of course, we understand and we've experienced tremendous technical advance over the last 50, 75 years, which is and was unimaginable. The amazing facilities that we have, whether it's rockets, washing machines, central heating, air conditioning, microwave oven, you can make a supper in 3 minutes, pop a plate in the microwave and you have it. Transport, medicine, MRI machines, and it's not just a transformation, it's not just a gentle movement, it's a revolution. Technological revolution that we have in our lifetimes experienced. I can still remember seeing my first electronic calculator. It was quite some years ago, but it was an absolute amazing. Someone brought it into our office and we sort of stared at it as if it had come from outer space. You know, it was something that was quite completely remarkable. And so with the march of technology, we can almost be forgiven, almost, for believing that technology will solve all our problems. Just wait long enough and they get the right machine cut, etc. Technology will solve all our problems one way or the other, sooner or later. And along comes this COVID virus and turns everything on its head. What I'd like to do is to show a parallel, or in fact a continuation, of what's gone on before in last week's parasha, in Sedra Noach, where we all know the story about the Migdal, the tower that they built. And the Pasuk says that they were all speaking one language, and they found this valley. They said, let us build bricks, and build this raging fire, this furnace. Rav Esar Hirsch, in his inimitable style, gives us a wonderful explanation. You know, the Meforshim struggle a little to find out exactly what the Aveira was. Rashi gives us two Pshotim. What was the Aveira? What were they doing that was so wrong? And Rav Hirsch explains that what they were doing was discovering their independence. And in fact, if you put a word to it, in fact, they discovered technology. That with technology, they could be independent. How did you build a house in those days? Well, you took a stone, you put the stone down on the ground, and then you took some clay, you slapped the clay onto the stone, took another stone, put the stone on the other side, and so the house went up. Clay, stone, clay, stone. That's the way a house went up. So they came to a place, this Bikor, which Rashi tells us had no stones. No stones. And in fact, it infers, it seems to be that it had no clay either. Had no clay, no stones. What do? The Pasuk tells us what they did. They said, right, let's make our own stones. Nilman olivanim. We'll build bricks. Nisfor asrefa. And we'll then fire those bricks into stones. And now we'll have our stones. We will invent the stones. We'll make the stones where there are no stones. And clay? Well, we'll do something. We'll mix some earth, some dust with some water, and we'll have cement. So that's what the Pasuk Taka says. Pasuk Taka says, Vatehi lohem halaveina, the brick la oven became stones. They used bricks where previously they'd used stones. Vachema, by the way, Rav Hirsch proves that in the Ganze Torah, chema always means cement. People translate this pasuk wrong. They say they use clay as cement, snisht. Chema is always clay. Chema is always cement. So they used chema, what they had made, for chema, where they normally would have used clay, now they were using cement. So they did it themselves. So in other words, it's a bid for independence. We all know that you're going to wage war, etc. The fact is that it's the independence that they wanted to free themselves from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that was the Avera. And I think the parallel is fairly obvious, that what they wanted was this independence, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam takes action, because you can only do something like that, a massive scale project, as they were going to do. And apparently this project, the Ir and the Migdol, was going to be a lifetime's effort. Everybody had to join it, first communist regime. Everyone had to join it, and they would stay there for a lifetime, building the city and the Migdol on and on and on. There would be no stop. How did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam solve the problem? Because all of this, big projects depend on communication. If you can't communicate, then you can't build a big project. There's a very wonderful example of the Americans and the Russians tried to build something together. They were going to build a space docking port. So one side, I can't remember which was which, the Americans brought the rocket with the particular coupling, and the Russians built the one that the coupling would go into. So the two had to fit exactly, okay? And therefore in space they'd fit exactly in. Only someone forgot to tell somebody that the Americans were working in inches and the Russians were working in centimeters. Okay, they were using different measurements and they weren't talking to each other. And of course the docking system didn't work. Lovely example. Yeah, miscommunication. Well, that's what I wanted to say by way of introduction for today. But Be'emes, the Shir is about Gevuras Geshomim and Tchias HaMesim. I've taken this Shir from a Sefer called Maskil L'Shloimeh. Don't know whether anybody's ever heard of it. It was written by somebody called Rabbi Shloimeh Karlebach, a relation of the one that we all know about. Apparently this family was a family of Lamdonim and many, many Sforim and lots of Rabbonim. They're all one family. All the Karlebachs are one family. This was written, I think, by an uncle of the Shloimeh Karlebach. And so I've taken this particular maimer from there, which I think we can share in relation to partly the weather we're having at the moment. As it's said, it's called Gevuras Geshomim, you know, the greatness, the power of the rains, and linking it with Tchias HaMesim. Now, in Sedra B'chukosai, the Torah begins, V'nosati Gishmechem Be'itom. Very, very beginning of the Sedra, the first of the brachas, which are mentioned in B'chukosai, has to do with the rain. And the Ramban tells us that the reason why it's first is because it's the most important one. Gishmechem is the most important bracha, that rain, if we have rain, it's very, very important indeed. And we've just had some heavy rain already this morning, and I remember something that I heard B'Shem Rabbi Victor Miller, I may have even heard it on one of his tapes many, many years ago when the tapes started coming in the 60s or 70s perhaps. We got these tapes from America from a Victor Miller, and he was the first sort of Maribitz Torah on the scale in using technology. But I remember him saying that if a person grumbles about the rain, yeah, he grumbles about the rain, or it's pouring with rain, he would say to him, tell me, young man or whatever, do you like peaches? And the person must say, yes, I do like peaches. He says, what do you think a peach is? Peach is rain. So don't grumble about the rain. You know, it gives us life. But of course, we all know. In Bereshis, we learn, before the first rainfall, it says, Bereshis, capital base, when the actual world was in the making, Chosia chasode terim yir ba'oretz, and all the plants in the field before the plants actually came out, or they had not yet come out, as Rashi tells us, there's a difference between before and not yet. V'chol eisev asod eterim yitzmach, and all the grasses had not yet grown, ki lo himtir, because it hadn't rained. There was no rain, and therefore these plants were held under the surface of the ground, waiting for rain, and when rain came down, would come down, then of course these plants would emerge. Aloris for Odom ayin, lavedes for Adoma, there was nobody around in order to work the land. And Rashi says as follows, Umay tama, lo himtir, why didn't it rain? What's the reason? The Posuk says the plants hadn't grown yet, and that the rain hadn't fallen yet. My tama lo himtir, zok Rashi lefisha odam ayin. The Posuk answers its own question, so to speak, because there was nobody, la voides ha'adoma, vein maker betoy voson shel geshomim. There was no one to appreciate the rain. And if there was no one to appreciate the rain didn't come. And this is a klal we'll learn about. When Odom emerged on the scene and realized that you need rain in order to keep a world going, he was mispalel, and down came the rain, and the trees grew, and the plants grew. In other words, you needed Odom, a sentient being, a conscious being, in order to offer up a tefillah. And when he did that, then all of a sudden, the rain came down. And the Maharal makes a remark there in Gur Aryeh. The Maharal makes a remark on this and says the following. That it's osur to be mative a person who does not appreciate it. You mustn't do a toiva to a person who doesn't appreciate or acknowledge it. And it applies particularly to rain, because rain is needed for life, and therefore it should be something that a person asks for, and it should be something that a person appreciates and at least acknowledges that they've got this toiva, the rain. And he's saying that Hakoras HaToiv is one of the great Yesoidis and one of the great Ikrei Imuna, and therefore it obligates the receiver of any sort of toiva, any sort of benefit from something else, someone else, the Rabbeinu Shloilom, to be makir toiv. And therefore, by practicing Akoras HaToiv in all sorts of ways, we learn to be makir toiv to the Rabbeinu Shloilom. And we have to learn that because, as the Chinuch says in the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, the Chinuch says, the whole reason why we're given the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is sort of practice. It's a way of being makir toiv to our parents, and thereby we learn to be makir toiv to the Rabbeinu Shloilom. It's very simple, in fact, to be makir toiv to parents, because you realize the toiva the parents have done. Yeah, any person becoming mature and realize all the parents have done and got up in the night, etc., and bottles it. It's everything that a parent does for a child. We can be makir toiv. It's common sense. But to the Rabbeinu Shloilom, it's much more difficult because we can't see or hear, it's invisible. So when we learn to be makir toiv, says the Chinuch, with our parents, we can also transfer that concept to the Rabbeinu Shloilom as well. And therefore, once we understand that, it engenders love. And the Rambam, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, says the following. When a person thinks about all that's going on around him, he sees the tremendous chokhma in the world, you know, the way plants grow, etc., and everything else, the weather systems. A person wants to know what is the source of all this wonderful world, this amazing world. And he wants to know, Leda Shem HaGodol, he wants to know about the Rabbeinu Shloilom, V'akorazuhi Ika Taklis Kol, U'mishvila Himtzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol B'tzias. The Rabbeinu Shloilom made everything that exists in order to engender, in order to create this sort of person wanting to understand both the world, and he understands it, and then wanting to know the source of it all. It's a terribly important concept. So if a person's kofui toiv, if a person denies the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us so much benefit, then the Rebbeinu Shlom, in inverted commas, has been wasting his time in creating this person, because this person is completely negating the main reason why he's here. The main reason why we're here is in order that we should be makir the toivus of the Rebbeinu Shlom, and a person that doesn't do that, he shouldn't sort of be here at all. And that's why the Maharal says, that we said in the first place, the Maharal says that you shouldn't do a toiva to somebody who's a kofui toiva, because he is, in a way, bankrupting the world from its chusim. Can't see the toiva, therefore the Maharal says, shouldn't give a person any toiva, because a kofui toiva is actually a destroyer. He is going against the reason why the world was created, and therefore a kofui toiva is in fact a destructive sort of midah. And therefore, on the other side of the coin, Hakoras HaToiv, somebody who has it, Hakoras HaToiv, it's the passport that we have to live together with the Rebbeinu Shloilam, to enter the world of the Rebbeinu Shloilam, and to be part of it, and to be a shutuf. So Hakoras HaToiv is the key, the passport, in order to get into the Rebbeinu Shloilam's world. There's a story you all probably heard of, Rabbi Dr. Schoenfeld. Yeah, he did a lot of work during the war and did Yidden, lots of toivas, did toivas to Yidden, and worked very hard with the Kinder transport, etc. A very, very famous person, after whom Schoenfeld Square is named. And he did lots of people, lots of toivas. And the story is that he was once walking along with a friend of his, walking along the street, and towards him was coming one of those people that he'd helped. He'd helped build him. Remember, those people came in the Kinder transport with just the clothes they stood up with. They had mamash, nothing, absolutely nothing. And many, many years later, some of them became very prosperous. They did very well. Apparently, Rabbi Schoenfeld once said at a chasana, "We've all done very well since the Second World War, but so-and-so, happened to be the Baal Simcha, has done a little better." Yeah, happened to be a very wealthy man. That was typically Rabbi Schoenfeld, very, you know, upfront, and wasn't shy of saying anything. Anyway, so he was walking along the street with a friend, and this person was coming towards him, and he recognized this person as one of those people that he'd once helped. And the person walked past him without sort of saying hello or anything at all. So Dr. Schoenfeld turned to his friend and said, "I wonder what favor I did this man that he walks past me without saying hello." You know, Hakoras HaToiv is very, very hard. It's very, very difficult to do. People think, I've got to acknowledge that my prosperity, my wealth, etc., is due to somebody who's done me a lot of favors. It's very hard for a person to do. And people see it as a weakness. Lemaisa, it's a strength. If you can do that, be makir somebody that's done you a toiva, and never forget it. It's a tremendous strength. Nobody's on his own. There's no such thing as a self-made man. It doesn't exist. Self-made man. We're all the product of our parents, our teachers, our friends, etc. We're a product of a lot of input. Yeah, there's no such thing as a self-made man. So this is, in fact, a story about Dr. Schoenfeld. I'm sure it's repeated in many other forms. Lesson number two is that one of the lots of Ikrei Emunah, of course, are contained. Excuse me a minute. In Hakoras HaToiv, and Chazal have got a term for this. Before we go on with our idea of Hakoras HaToiv, that the world works on the basis of Choik Nosan V'lo Yavoy. Now, the Rebbeinu Shem made a world and put it together. Choik Nosan V'lo Yavoy, that means that the rules, we'll call it physics or whatever subject you want to take, chemistry, the rules of the way the world works, that's the way it is. You shouldn't have any other expectation that if you put your hand in the fire, it's going to get very, very hot. I mean, it's going to do that because that's the way physics works. And in fact, Chazal have got a different name. That's, of course, a quote from the Pasuk that we say in our Tfilis, that Oilom k'minhogoy noyeg. The world will carry on ticking and tocking, etc., will move forward in the way that the Rebbeinu Shlom's put it together, and you've always got to expect Oilom k'minhogoy noyeg. They're immutable and unchanging laws, except one. There's something that doesn't follow Olam Kiminhoge Noeg, and he says, and this is rain. Rain has its sort of own system of laws. It deals with things in a completely unexpected way. Very, very difficult. Yes, I think forecasting of the weather has got a lot better in our lifetimes. It used to be a very hit and miss. Somebody once rang up the BBC after a big snowfall and complained that I've spent all morning shoveling rather cloudy off my front path. Rather cloudy. So sometimes, and in the old days, the weather forecast was a very, very hit and miss affair. Now it's much more accurate with satellites, etc. But nevertheless, you know, it can be very, very surprising. Ask anyone who lives in Miami a few years ago how a storm hit. And even we remember the storm, I think it was 76, something like that, when they'd also predicted mild, you know, they were going to be a bit cloudy, a bit rainy, etc. And all the trees were blown down. Millions of trees were blown down that day. We all remember this storm. I think it was Chalamotsukas. I think so. Anyway, Hashemayim, Mesaprim, in New Orleans, remember Miami, New Orleans, there was these tremendous unexpected storms. Shteitan Tehillim, Hashemayim, Mesaprim, Kavoid, Kael, Masa, Yodo, Magid, Rakia. And the Malbim explains that Sipur is something that's one-off, an explanation of one-off, whereas Magid, Higid, is something that is continuously mechadish. It goes on and on. The story goes on and on. So, you know, like today, the rain pours, tomorrow it'll be dry and sunny, etc. All laws of nature are established at Ma'aseh Bereishis and encapsulated in Vayechulu. And after that, there's no chiddush. No chiddush ha'olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam has stopped this creative process, except rain. Rain still comes under the bria of the world, and it's unpredictable, and it helps us, the fact that it is unpredictable, the fact that we can't know exactly where it's going to rain and how much it's going to rain, that unpredictability is actually a help to us, that HaMechadish B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis, we say it every single day in Davening, HaMechadish B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis, where does that manifest itself? Well, not in the rest of the nature, which goes on in one continuous cycle, but rain, because it's got this hidden aspect, this unexpected aspect to it, therefore we can appreciate that the Ma'aseh Bereishis goes on as well, Chiddush goes on. And when we are impressed by rain, let's appreciate that in fact it's a manifestation, it's an example of HaMechadish B'tuvoy, and why it's a lesson in Ikka Emunah. So it's a prime example of Chiddush, and therefore it gives us a way of rejuvenating our Emunah. If we go back to Ma'aseh Bereishis, Shteit Azoy, V'chol Siach Hasode Terem Yeboretz, we heard this passage before, and Chazal tell us that Siach is a Loshon Tefillah, and Sode is an expression of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we've got a Pasuk talking about plants, and Chazal tell us that the Siach part of the Pasuk is the Tefillah, and the Sode part of the Pasuk is Beis HaMikdash. And we know that from Yitzchok, Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuach Basode, you've got both those words there, you've got Siach Lasuach Basode, and Chazal, therefore, made this connection. Now, the question is, why did Chazal make those droshes, Siach and Sode? And the answer is, because rain is not under Chopnos and Veloyavai. Rain is different. And rain needs special tefillah. So when the Torah is talking about the rain hadn't fallen, and with Rashi's pshat, because there was no one to appreciate, no one to be mispalel, then when Adam came along, he was mispalel for the rain. When we have all that, Chazal understand that with rain, you've got this connection with tefillah. And you need tefillah more than anything else for rain. So Adam needed to be mispalel harder, not just an ordinary tefillah, but really be mispalel very, very much. And of course, without emunah, there's no tefillah. One only davens if it's coupled together with emunah. Why is that? It's fairly obvious, but I'll still state it. Because if one doesn't believe that the tefillah is going to be effective, because one doesn't have the emunah, then one doesn't daven. If one davens because you have an innate belief that this tefillah is going to have an effect, this tefillah is going to do something. In other words, tefillah is an expression of emunah as well, that your tefillah will be answered. So let's just recap something. Adam realizes the necessity of rain, and that rain is required for life, and therefore his hakoras hatoiv, his understanding that when the rain comes down, engenders emunah in him, in a person. And then we have the tefillah, and we have another part, which is the sodeh part, which is the kriyas tefillah. Chazal tell us, kol kaveya mokim letefilosoi, elekei avrohom be'ezroi. A person is kaveya mokim, who daven in a mokim kavua. This shows a certain anova, going to the same place and davening in the same place. And therefore that, elekei avrohom be'ezroi, this improves our quality of tefillah. So Adam Rishon realized the toiva, and the toiva of the Rabbein Shom to all the creatures, and therefore this was part of the Ikri Amuna. The Medrash also says, Azoi, Kosho hi gvuras kashomim, shishkula keneged kol mas bereshis. Gvuras kashomim, that the Rabbein Shom brings, Geshem, Rabbein Shom brings the rain, is equal in sort of measure in some way to kol ma'aseh bereishis. The implication is that the hischadshus in ma'aseh bereishis, the hischadshus is clear. And so if we are comparing it, if the chachamim are comparing that to rain, then there must be hischadshus in the rain as well. It goes together. So this is an element of ma'aseh bereishis which remains with us. The fact that whenever it rains, we benefit from the ma'aseh bereishis, from the hischadshus. This is some sort of continuation of that. Now, rain also has a connection to Tchiyas HaMesim. And it will become obvious, but maybe it's obvious already. The Bria and the Hischadshus draws on the Chesed of Tchiyas HaMesim. Now, this is why, and partly why, Chazal placed Mashiv HaRuach, which we just started saying a couple of weeks ago, Mashiv HaRuach, in the middle of the Brocha called Gvurois. Ato Giboy is the bracha called Gvurois, and it starts off Ato Giboy, etc. And then in the middle we insert Mashiv HaRuach Moed HaGoshem. So Chazal have connected Gvuras with Geshomim, with Mashiv HaRuach Moed HaGoshem. So that's why we've talked about Gvuras Geshomim throughout. How does that bracha end up? Mechaya Mesim. That's how that same bracha ends up. So we've got a connection between the Gevura of the Rabbeinu Shloilam and the Gevuras Geshomim with Tchias HaMesim. Why? Because both of them bring life. Tchias HaMesim, of course, brings life in a sort of Yeshma Ayin Oifen. And the rain also brings life, and without it, nothing can live. Everything is heading towards Misa at a time of drought. And therefore, we understand the connection they all have, what's called the sort of Yeshma'ayin aspect. Let me just read you another Chazal in the time that I have. The Gemara in Tanis says the following. Shloisha mafteches biyodah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rabbeinu Shalom kept three keys to the world. He kept them in his own hands. Wouldn't let them go to anybody. Shloid nimsru biyad hashliach. Didn't give them. Ve'elohim. The first one is the Mafteach Shel Geshomim. The Rabbein Shem retains the right to control the rain. Second one, Chaya, life. Rabbein Shem brings life in the world. A person, even this great scientist, can't create life. After all these laboratories, they can't create life. And the third one is Tchias HaMesim. And of course, you can see the thread running through all of those three. All of them are sort of a Yeshma Ayin. And, you know, the bridge between the Yesh and the Ayin is retained by the Rabbein Shem. We can't do that. It's not given to any creature. And Gevura, as we know, was the Midah of Yitzchok. That was the Midah. And we have, of course, an example of Yitzchok and Tchias HaMesim. I won't read it to you now, but in Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, it's got an account of the Akedah. And at the Akedah, Yitzchok actually dies. Actually dies, and his neshama flies out of him, then he gets a new neshama. And it says in Pirkei Rabbi Lezer that Yitzchok stood up, v'yoda tchias ha-mesim min ha-toyer, and he said, bracha to Hashem, mechaya ha-mesim. In other words, Yitzchok was the inventor of that bracha that we're talking about. That was so. In other words, after death, Yitzchok comes alive, and then he says, tchias ha-mesim. And so therefore, if Gevura, getting beyond chukei teva, beyond oilam kiminhoge noeg, that's when the Rabbein Shalom ignores oilam kiminhoge noeg and retains the key of, there's nothing which defies teva as much as tchias amesim. That is the greatest yesh me'ayin that could be. That something that's dead all of a sudden comes alive, that is amazing. That is a classic, the classic demonstration of Rabbein Shalom getting above oilam kiminhoge noeg, because you normally see that. So we've got Ato Giboya, we've got Mashiv Ruach, and Tchias Amesim, all making the point outside the confines, outside the parameters of Oilam Kiminhogoy Noyeg. And in Vahoyo, in the second paragraph of Shema, the Rabbeinu Shalom warns that if Klal Yisrael are over Avodah Zorah, the Avera of Avodah Zorah, for Otzas HaShemayim, we know that he takes away the rain, and there will be no rain, and of course, everything suffers as a result. Because Avodah Zorah is the classical example of a lack of Emunah. Lack of Emunah, and the Rabbeinu Shalom, what he does to correct the situation, he takes away the rain, and there comes a point when we can take it no longer. If the rain hasn't come down for long enough, and we're in the middle of a drought, then we will eventually turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the rain, or the lack of rain, brings us back to Emunah and corrects the situation that caused it. The Avodah Zorah, the symbol of E-Emunah, a lack of Emunah, the lack of rain brings us back to it. And there's a very good example of that. Gemara Sanhedrin tells us about the story about Eliyahu and Achav. Achav was the king, Eliyahu we all know. And they are going to visit, they are going on a Shiva visit to somebody called Chiel. Chiel built up Yericho against the Cherem of Yeshua ben Nun. And one by one all his sons died, a terrible story, and at Nishkechapt. Yeah, that there's a connection between that. And Eliyahu and Achav are walking towards Chiel's house. And Achav turns to Eliyahu and jeers at him, brags to him, and says, isn't it strange that the Shvua, the Cherem of Yeshua, the Talmud, that seems to be working. Okay, don't build up Yericho, that was the Cherem. And this man, this Chiel, built up Yericho, and look, he's being punished. You can see that the Shvua, the Cherem of Yeshua is working. Over the Cherem of the Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's not working, because the Shtet in the Shema, V'Otzas HaShemayim V'lo Yemoto, you worship Avodah Zorah. I've got the whole country worshipping Avodah Zorah. Every single man, Jack, is worshipping Avodah Zorah. And we've got rain as much as we want. It's so much rain, it's difficult to get to our houses of Avodah Zorah. We have to plod through and splash through the rain. We've got so much of it. And at that moment, the Rabbeinu Shalom gives over the keys, the Mafteach Shel Geshomim, to Eliyahu Hanavi, and Eliyahu turns the tap and switches off the rain. And there is a drought for 3 years. You say that Moshe Rabbeinu's Cherem, it's not working. I'll show you how well it works. For 3 years they had no rain. Until, you know, the story of Baal, etc., and the two Mizbechais, etc., until this brought Klal Yisrael back into a state of Emunah, and the correction that brought about, Hashem Ulakim, Hashem Ulakim. And that, of course, brought Klal Yisrael back from the brink. They all came back to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Nevi'ah Baal were killed. So here we have a very good example of the complete circle of the Emunah. The lack of Emunah brings a dearth of rain, and as a result, a lack of rain, and as a result of that, that feeds us back into Emunah. And, of course, understanding of Tchias HaMesim, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu retains those keys, but in Mitzvah Hashem he will use those keys, Yemoisa Mashiach, that we hope that will happen soon. And hopefully we'll also have a mini sort of geula with this terrible coronavirus that we are suffering, with all the privations that it creates and all the difficulties that it creates for communities and individuals, that Rabbeinu Shalom should be Hoseas Machla, to take away this terrible magefa from us, from Klal Yisrael, and hopefully the whole world. And b'schus our tefillas, we should have a geula shleima b'korov b'mehirah.